remember the topic or one of the main things of his sermon when he came? Fainting goats. That's right. So I don't know what he's going to have tonight, but aren't you glad that Terry's here tonight?
Well, thank you, Dana. I was thinking, Dana, when you had us yell out those years that when we were saved, you know what? I feel like I've been a Christian a long time, but I realized I'm just a babe in this world. But you know, Dana, Bob, at the number of years he's been saved, we're all babes compared to the number of years. That's that no matter how old or how young, if Christians we are, it's just the start. It's just the start, and that's such a great thing. You know, when Ed called me about a month ago to speak again, I thought, oh, here we go. And I accepted, and I'll be very honest with you. I'm so honored and so humbled to stand before you and get to speak to you tonight. But when I hung up with Ed, I talked to Alice. I said, Alice, you're on this pastor search committee. You need to get on with it. Because Ed's already recycling. So I was a little concerned that some of you whose name haven't been called yet, just get in line. It'll call. It'll call. So I apologize to you for the fact that you've got to listen to me again. And everybody for the last week has said, Terry, what are you going to talk about? Giraffes? And I tell them, no, you know, tonight's going to be very different. And they kind of give me that, oh, look. But when Ed asked me, I prayed about it, and I was very comfortable about what the Lord was laying on my heart. And then about 3 weeks ago, he took it away, completely changed it. And so I said, okay. And I was, again, I was very convinced about what he was laying on my heart to talk about. And about 10 days ago, he took that one away again. So tonight's presentation is a little bit short notice, but I think it's one to me that as I've studied it and I've thought about it and tried to prepare, it has spoken to me. And I hope that tonight, at the crossroads that Eastwood Baptist Church stands at tonight, that this passage will speak to you too. So I'd ask that before I start, if you'd bow your heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to be in your house, Lord. And we just praise your name. Lord, all these years that were mentioned that you saved our souls. But yet, Father, we rejoice in the fact that it's just a moment in time compared to the amount of time we'll spend with you in eternity, Father. Lord, I ask that you be with me and give me the words to say. Father, I just pray that nothing I would say tonight would get in the way of your word and the message that you have tonight. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, Ed last week on Wednesday, he talked about that television show. You guys remember that? He talked about the Alone show, and he used that in reference to commitment. And I'm kind of a television watcher myself. I like to sit in my easy chair and watch all those shows. I'm more of a movie kind of guy. I like those old movies. Alice is different. I can be sitting and watching a movie and she can be reading a book. She's the most voracious reader in the world. And for me, I'm not that. You know, I want the cliff note version of the cliff note of the novel. I want just what happened and why did it happen. And so I'll ask Alice when she finishes a book, what was it about? And she'll start into this long eloquy, and I say, just give me the facts. Just give me the facts. I just want to know what happened. And tonight's story that I'm going to share with you from the Bible is a little bit the same. So if you want to open your Bibles and turn to the book of Esther, chapter 4, is where we're going to be focusing on tonight. The book of Esther, chapter 4, that's what we're going to focus on. But before we go to the specific passage, I want to share the background of this story with you, because I think really understanding the background and what's going on makes our focal passage that we will concentrate on tonight a little more meaningful. You know, the background of this, at this time, and let me back up a minute. You know, there's lots of Bible scholars today that question the inclusion of the book of Esther in the Bible. There's a lot of them. And it always amazed me, but I'm thankful that I go to a church that believes the Bible includes all of God's holy word that was passed down to those authors. And so I think the inclusion of the book of Esther is there for a reason. And I know that book spoke to me in the last few weeks, and I hope it does to you tonight. So getting down to that, you know, the Jewish people had been taken captive by the Babylonians. The best and the brightest of the young men were being retrained and reprogrammed. We talk about people like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. These were the young men at that time that were being retrained. We also know that Babylonia was later defeated by King Cyrus the Persian, and the kingdom fell under Persian control. After the Persian King Cyrus passed the kingdom down to Darius, do you remember what Darius's role was in the Bible? He's the king who threw Daniel into the lion's den. Okay? So he was the ruler of the Persian kingdom at that time. After Darius, along came a king called Xerxes. And Xerxes is the king who plays a major role, if you will, in the story of the book of Esther. Okay? So King Xerxes, he was one of those unique kings. You know, he was proud. He was boastful. He was one of those people who wanted everyone to see how important he was. So he decided to throw a party. Now, this wasn't your typical, let's have a few nachos and cold RC party. This party went on for 180 days, a six-month-long celebration. At some point in time during this celebration, the king demanded his wife to come forward and make an appearance. For those of you who know the story, you know that the queen refused. And as a result, she was banished from the kingdom. You see, in those days and time, you didn't approach the king unless you were called. And you dare not refuse if you were called. Now let's move forward to today. How different is approaching the king for us today than it was at that time? I'm so thankful that every day in my life I can approach my king anytime I want. But I'm also very mindful in similar form that when God calls me to do something, if I refuse, then there's punishment to be received. And so we have to realize and compare and contrast those days and times to our time today with our Savior. Obviously, the king, he demanded to have the most beautiful wife in the country. So he had all the best and most beautiful young ladies in the area, in the land, to be brought to the kingdom. Okay? So in doing that, he had them all brought there, and for a entire year, every woman was treated to beauty treatments. For six entire months, those young ladies were treated with oil and myrrh to make them smell well, to make their skin soft. For six more months, then, they were treated to cosmetics and perfumes. I was trying to think, what would this be like? The only thing I could think of was this was the most serious Mary Kay party in the world. But the concept was, even though these were beautiful, the most beautiful young women in the country, the king demanded that they receive this treatment before a year, before they could come and appear before him. Again, I reflect back to our appearance before our king today. We don't have to be beautiful. We don't have to be perfect. He accepts us just as we are. So very different in how we approach our kings. Obviously, after a year, each of these young ladies were presented to the king one at a time. A little bit like the Bachelor television show. Some were approved, some weren't approved, and they were all eventually eliminated until only one remained. The reward, the prize for being the one remaining, was a kingdom. To be the queen of the country of Persia. That leads us to a young lady by the name of Esther. Esther was a young Jewish girl who, as we read the story, we really don't know that she had a mother and father that were living. We know she was under the care of a family member by the name of Mordecai. And Mordecai had warned Esther as she was preparing to go to the kingdom to start this year-long process. He told her, make sure, keep your heritage as a Jewish girl a secret. And she tried to do that as best she could. We know as the story plays out that Esther ultimately pleased the king. And he chose her not because of her external beauty, which she did have, but he ultimately chose her because of her inner beauty. And if you don't know the story of Esther, I encourage you to go back and read the book of Esther to see that. Now, some folks would say, you know, what a great coincidence that is, that this young Jewish girl, she winds up in this kingdom, she doesn't have any parents, she winds up the queen, la, 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 la. Folks, I'm a firm believer that coincidences don't happen. Coincidences don't happen. You see, God had placed one of his chosen children in a place and in a certain area for what was about to come. What was about to come is the villain of the story, if you will, a man by the name of Haman. Haman was a close official to the king. He was a very boastful, very proud, very arrogant man. And he demanded that all that appeared before him other than the king must bow at his presence. And everyone did except Mordecai. The family member of Esther refused to bow before Haman because he only desired to bow before his king and his God. Well, we know that because of this, Haman was completely infuriated. He was so mad. He basically plotted a way to destroy Mordecai. But even more than that, his desire was to destroy the entire Jewish population. He was so infuriated that he convinced the king that all Jews should be eliminated because they were different and because they didn't follow the king's rules. So Xerxes issued a decree that on a certain date, at a certain time, all Jewish people were to be eliminated. Kind of sounds like few years ago, particular world war. A decree was passed throughout the kingdom so everyone knew when this certain date and this certain time was to occur. Now, Queen Esther faced a choice. Mordecai sent her word to intercede on behalf of the Jewish people before the king, but there was a problem. The problem was she faced almost certain death if she appeared before the king unannounced. And so that brings us to our focal passage tonight. If you turn to Esther chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. Esther chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. God's word says that Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to tell Mordecai, all the royal officials and the people of the royal provinces know that one law applies to every man or woman who approaches the king in the inner courtyard and who has not been summoned, the death penalty. Only if the king extends the golden scepter will that person live. I have not been summoned to appear before the king for the last 30 days. Esther's response was reported to Mordecai. Mordecai told the messenger to reply back to Esther, "Don't think that you will escape the fate of all the Jews because you are in the king's palace. If you keep silent at this time, liberation and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place, but you and your father's house will be destroyed. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." I think those last six words are so meaningful. For such a time as this. And that's what I really want to focus on tonight as we talk about this passage. You know, I told you that I kind of like movies. One of my favorite movies that I really enjoy is a movie called Dead Poets Society. Robin Williams, he's basically an English teacher at a private boys' school. And he challenged his students to embrace the motto, Carpe Diem, which means to seize the day. You see, that's essentially what Esther faced. And in reality, my friends, that's what you and I face today. Today, and we'll talk more about that. You know, it's so important that we make every moment count, because we don't know when that defining moment in our lives, in our walk with Jesus, is going to occur. We don't know. As we look at the Bible, there's so many stories about these defining moments. We can all think about them. Some of them are big moments in the Bible. We think about David and Goliath. That's a big moment. Not only was Goliath big, that was a big changing moment in David's life. We think about Noah and the ark. It's a big moment. A big moment when Noah could have said, "No, I'm an old man. I'm not going to flood the world." We think about Moses leading God's chosen people out of Egypt. That was a big moment, a big moment. Think about Joshua and the city of Jericho. What a huge moment. You say, "Terry, that's all fine. I'm not going to fight any giant, and I'm not going to walk around a city so many times and watch the walls fall." And that's probably true. But you know, in this Bible, there's a lot of small moments that get referred to in big ways. I encourage you to remember the little boy. The little boy, he had a couple of fish, a couple of loaves of bread. But God used that little insignificant meal to feed thousands. A little moment made a big impact for God's people. I think about the woman who had that bottle of perfume. Not many people there, but she broke that expensive bottle of perfume and anointed our Lord Jesus. That little action was such a big deal. and teaching the disciples giving. Think about the woman at the well. Just her and the Lord. But yet her response caused revival to completely sweep an entire town. Just a little thing. Think about a little tax collector. About this tall. Climbed a tree. Parade was going by. Climbed a tree so he could see better. Just a little thing. But how God used that little thing to make such an impact and change that man's life. You see, there are moments in our lives, and these were moments in those people's lives that became their legacies, that established who they were. And we read about them today because God desired us to know about these little moments. When Mordecai sent these words to Esther, "Perhaps you've come to this kingdom for such a time as this." Not only did those words shake that young Jewish girl to the core, but my friends, it should shake you and I to our cores tonight. Maybe we have become here in this place for such a time as this. It's so easy to sit in the back, stay at home. It's Wednesday night, nobody comes to Point Service. Who might you touch? Whose life might be changed by such a time as this moment? And we don't know when those moments are. I want to look at four specific things tonight that I think our focal passage really points out. The first one is that God has given every one of us a purpose for our life. At least one specific thing to fulfill. One task. That task is called our life ministry. You with me? We're not called for one moment. We're called for our life ministry. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose." Folks, if you're in this building tonight, you're a creation of the good Lord, whether you've accepted Him as your Savior or not. He has a purpose for your life. And if you're a son or a daughter of our Lord and Savior, you have been called. It's easy to say, "Well, I go to church on Sunday. I'm always there at Easter and Christmas." That's not what He called you for. He called you for a lifetime ministry. And He didn't call each of us to do the same thing. He doesn't call each of you to go to China like Allison and I did. He doesn't call each of you to stand up here and sing like Dana does every Sunday and every Wednesday. But He calls you for something. He's called you to some purpose in your life. And it's important that you understand that. You see, He's given us something we're supposed to do. And if we do that, we could potentially change the world. You say, "Now, Terry, that's a big deal." No, it's a fact. It's a fact. You think about that little boy's lunch. Miss Gail and I have traveled all around the world. And we've shared that story with people around the world. You've got to plant the seed for Him to reap the harvest. And that's you change the world. But I think more importantly, when we follow that thing God calls us to do, we could potentially change the course of a life on its way to eternal judgment. you catch that? If we do, if we accept God's calling on our lives, we could change someone's life for eternity. We call those divine appointments. For those of us that were here before church started, Dana was sharing about his appointment with our drummer and how they met and how that happened. That wasn't a coincidence. That was a divine appointment that he arranged for those two people. Lots of people say, well, it's just chance you run into them. No, it's not true. I can give you so many accounts in my life where God put me in a place for a reason. I didn't know it at the time, but now I know it. Divine appointments are real. I think the second thing that our passage points out tonight is that every person in their life ministry will have a defining moment, will have such a time as this moment. You see, the reality is Esther didn't show up at the kingdom just for that moment. She had purpose her entire life, and she led her life in a way that allowed God to choose her to be in this particular moment. I believe that each and every one of us in this room will have at least one such a time as this moment in your life. At least one time. Maybe for some of you, you may have many, many of them. And in that one time, if we are obedient to follow God's leading, we'll change the kingdom forever in His name. But how easy is it for us when God touches you? And you know that feeling. We all know that feeling. You see that person, you say, I ought to say something to them. But I'm late for lunch. Everybody's going to lunch. I gotta go. You drive down the road. You see somebody on the side of the road. It's broken down. They need help. How easy is it to go on? We're afraid what might happen. That little tingle isn't fear. That little tingle is the Holy Spirit telling you, here's a divine appointment for you. For you. We've all missed those appointments. We have. We all have. But I encourage you to search your heart that when that next one comes along, that you follow God's urging, because that could be your such a time as this moment. It's important. The third thing I think our passage tells us tonight is that we may not know when that such a time as this moment happens. Okay? We may not know when it happens. You see, the issue is, it may pass us by in our regular routine of life. I'll give you an example. I'm reminded of the widow woman with the two little coins. You know, she wasn't doing anything special. She just did what was her normal for her. She gave all that she had. Wasn't the first time she had done that, I guarantee. And it wasn't the last time she had done that. It was just her normal thing. But yet in doing her normal thing, God used that as one of the greatest examples of giving in the Holy Word. You see, that woman was just doing what was normal to her. She didn't know. I guarantee you, she didn't know Jesus was going to use that as the demonstration he's done for years and still uses today. That's just what that little old woman did. She didn't know. The reality is, my friend, you and I are here because God has a purpose and a will for our life. And somewhere in our life ministry, we'll be called to do something. Now, does that mean we change our lives to do it? Or do we hope that we're leading our life in a way that that's just what we would do? And I encourage you to think about that. The fourth thing I think that passage teaches us is that we may not know with whom our appointment is. We may not know them. But the reality is we have to be faithful. We have to be ready. We have to be ever obedient to the fact that God has this plan for us. And if we don't be, if we're not obedient, we will miss that opportunity. We'll miss it. You see, I like to think of it this way. You don't know. You don't know, my friend. You stop to help someone. You go on a mission trip. You don't know that heart that you touch may not be the next Billy Graham. You don't know that life that you touch might be the next Mother Teresa. You don't know. God doesn't promise that he'll arrange this with this person for you. Maybe he will. But you see, when we do what he calls us to do every day, then that person we touch is because he arranged it that way. It's not a call to change what we're doing. It's a call to continue what we're doing every day in our lives. Matthew 25:40 says, I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers of mine, you did for me. So you walk past that person that he's nudging you to. You've walked past Jesus. You walk past that person who's in pain, who just needs a comforting arm. You've walked past Jesus. And I'm guilty. I'm as guilty as everybody else. But I think he reminds us that that's such a time as this moment in our life ministry with him. You see, God doesn't call us for a moment ministry. He calls us for a life ministry. And whether you're a young person, whether you're an older person, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He calls you to serve. He calls us to be obedient. So, kind of where does that leave us then? Kind of bringing the thing around to today. You know, Eastwood, we're at such a time as this moment. We don't have a lead pastor. How easy would it be to stay home? How easy would it be to say, well, if they ever figure out who they're going to have, I'll go back. How easy would it be to not care? So easy. But that's not what God called us to do. God called us to take a role, to be a part. Every one of us ought to be on our hands and knees every day praying for the right man to be back up here. He's going to provide it, just like he said in Esther. It will happen. But if you're not part of it, your house and you will be destroyed. That ought to be a warning. We need to be on our knees begging God to show us who the next leader of our church is. I think the other thing it tells us is this. You know, in just a few weeks, Brother Rick talked about this week of revival. If you read in the Bible, God didn't bring revival to those who didn't seek revival. We have a role. We have a calling. That entire week, we're supposed to fast. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to seek God's revival. But yet, why don't we do that every day? 365 days a year. You know? If you don't expect it, it won't happen. You got me? If you don't think God does miracles, he won't. That's just a fact. And I've seen him work miracles that shake me to my core. So I think that's where our passage tells us today. We're all called. We're all called for a reason. We all have a purpose. So as the musicians come, I do want to say that tonight, you know, this such a time as this moment can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. You know, the steps are always open. The steps are open. Maybe tonight is your such a time as this moment to meet our Lord and Savior.